For all its trouble, Myanmar remains rich in natural resources like oil and gas. And now more than ever, countries with hydrocarbons are enjoying a new burst of power no matter how they are governed. That is especially true of a nation that gets a new president this week. Russian President Vladimir Putin steps down. NPR's Gregory Pfeiffer reports this morning on a president who brought economic transformation and also brought back authoritarian rule.
Vladimir Putin owes his presidency to Boris Yeltsin. When Yeltsin announced his resignation on New Year's Eve in 1999, he appointed Putin acting president. It was a last-ditch attempt to install a loyal successor. No one expected just how brilliant a politician Putin would be. Just months earlier as prime minister, he had launched a second war in Chechnya. That made the previously little-known former KGB officer so popular, he easily won the presidential election the following year. As the country's steely new leader, Putin vowed to restore Russia as a great power, saying corrupt politicians and greedy businessmen were dragging the country down. That's why we're insisting on a single dictatorship in Russia, Putin said, a dictatorship of the law. That became Putin's mantra. He said he would fight the country's massive corruption by building a powerful central government. In Putin's first year as president, parliament became nothing more than a place for legislators to rubber stamp Putin's policies, while state-controlled companies began taking over independent media outlets. Police also investigated the country's powerful business oligarchs, some of whom fled abroad. But while Putin claimed to be strengthening Russia, he was also consolidating his own power by attacking his rivals. In 2003, police arrested Mikhail Khodorkovsky, Russia's richest man. His Yukos oil company was sold to a state-controlled firm, and Khodorkovsky landed in a Siberian prison, convicted of fraud and tax evasion. Many believe his real sin was to have challenged the Kremlin. Soon after, Putin used tragedy to his political advantage. Shots and explosions rang out in Beslan in 2004. As terrified children, their parents and teachers tried to escape from a school where Chechen rebels had held more than 1,000 people hostage. Putin had refused to negotiate, and witnesses say many of the more than 330 people who died were killed by soldiers firing into the building during the botched rescue attempt. After the massacre, Putin told his grieving country Moscow's enemies wanted to split Russia apart. We were weak, Putin said, and the weak are beaten. His response was to abolish elections of the country's regional governors in favor of presidential appointments. Putin replaced many of those governors and others in government with his fellow former KGB officers. The president's allies now run the country's biggest oil and gas companies and other state enterprises, swallowing up ever larger sectors of the economy. Putin claims credit for having saved Russia from splitting apart. But Stanford professor Michael McFaul says the idea that Putin has brought stability and prosperity to Russia is a myth.
Russia's return or Russian economic growth under Putin has as much to do with world oil prices and economic reforms of the 90s as it does with anything that Mr. Putin himself did.
Corruption is flourishing in Russia. Moscow's streets crawl with Bentley and Mercedes cars plying between lavish luxury shops and restaurants, even as people flee the poverty-stricken countryside. Alcoholism and disease have grown under Putin, while violence from Chechnya is spreading to other parts of the volatile Caucasus region. And once again in Russia, criticism of the Kremlin has become a crime. It's a common sight these days, riot police in central Moscow beating peaceful protesters, this time demonstrating against the results of the presidential election last March, which opposition leaders say was rigged. The victor, Putin's hand-picked successor Dmitry Medvedev, takes office on May 7th. But that doesn't mean Putin is going away. He'll stay in power as prime minister and head of the majority party in parliament, a decision some say has sealed the final demise of Russian democracy. Resurrecting a Soviet-style one-party state, Putin's critics say, will be his biggest legacy. Gregory Pfeiffer, NPR News, Moscow.
Vladimir Putin became known as the president who talked like a gangster, and you can find a sampling of his comments at npr.org.